Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and this week we bring you more laughter with the Martin and Lewis Show. NBC was on the lookout for comic talent after the famous raid that took Jack Benny and others to CBS. NBC decided to develop the comic duo of Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis based on their nightclub success. The public wasn't familiar with them yet, and it was difficult for them to catch on, since Jerry Lewis was a physical comic who emphasized the punchlines with lots of facial expression. Here is one of their early shows when they first arrived in New York City with Madeline Carroll guest starring. I know you will enjoy their signature humor with some wonderful songs and hilarious sketches in the Martin and Lewis Show, first broadcast May 1st, 1949 on NBC.
It's the Martin and Lewis Show. The National Broadcasting Company brings you, transcribed from New York, the Martin and Lewis Show. Our guest tonight, Madeline Carroll, and featuring Flo McMichael, Ed Hurley, Dick Stabile and his orchestra, and starring Dean Martin.
I love you so much, it hurts me, darling, that's why I'm so blue.
And Jerry Lewis.
I love you so much, it hurts me.
Jerry, now what's the matter with it? Do you have to sing that way? Isn't it enough that you're skinny and you have a funny looking hair and face?
Well, if I'm so skinny and everything, why do you work with me?
Well, you make such a wonderful pipe cleaner. Jerry, isn't it great to be here in New York this season?
What do you mean?
Well, don't you feel something in the air?
Well, no. I can't say that I feel anything in the air right now. But I felt something in the air yesterday.
You did?
Yeah, a guy dropped his lunchbox off the elevator and hit me on the head.
Jerry, I'm referring to the season.
So am I. The salt and pepper shakers hit me on the head, too.
When you were out in the sunshine, didn't a warm feeling creep all over you?
Yeah, the cork came out of his coffee bottle.
Jerry, how am I ever going to get through to that brain of yours?
It's simple. You turn left to Jersey City and keep going.
You know, Jerry, now that we're here in New York, you should dress more conservatively.
I think I'm dressed conservatively.
Jerry, look at that hand-painted tie with a picture of a fella chasing a girl in a bathing suit. You call that conservative?
Sure. They're married.
All right, Jerry. Now, do you mind if I sing? I got a number to do right here, you know.
I was born in Texas. I was bred in Kansas. When I get married, I'll be wedding Kansas. There's a true blue gal who promised she would wait. She's a sunflower from the sunflower state. She's a sunflower. She's my sunflower. And I know we'll never part. She's a sunflower, she's my one flower, she's the flower of my heart. I was fair in Kansas, clouds are rare in Kansas, never saw a place that could compare with Kansas. So I'm going home to keep a wedding date with a sunflower from the sunflower state. She's a sunflower, she's my sunflower, and I know we'll never part. She's a sunflower, she's my one flower, she's the flower of my heart.
Hey, Hey, Dean, that was real swell singing. I think your voice is even better since we came east.
Well, thanks, Jerry.
No, I mean it, Dean. I think it really sounds good.
Well, that's very nice of you, Jerry. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
No, it makes me proud to have a partner who can sing so good.
All right, Jerry, you said it. Now, let it go at that.
Oh, so you're getting sore. I pay you a nice compliment. You won't even admit that I think you sing good.
All right, Jerry, I sing good. I admit it. I'm terrific. I'm wonderful. Everything. Are you satisfied now?
Oh, what a ham.
But, Jerry, stop clowning. Instead of arguing, let's enjoy ourselves here in New York. Eh?
Hello, Mr. Martin. Hello, Mr. Lewis.
Well, it's our secretary, Florence. How do you like New York, Florence?
Well, I'm not sure yet. I've only had a day to look around.
Well, we arrived here a week ago. How come you've only had one day to look around?
Nobody told me to get off the train.
Florence, you don't mean that when the train got in the Grand Central, you stayed on it for a whole week? I never heard of anyone doing anything so flighty.
If it was me you were talking to, you'd say stupid.
Haven't you seen any of the city yet, Florence?
Oh, yeah. Yesterday, I spent the whole day just going up and looking at the view from the top of the Empire State Building.
Well, you must have loved it up there.
Oh, I was just up there a few minutes.
But you said you spent the whole day.
I did. It's quite a climb, you know.
Well, if you walked all the way to the top, I certainly hope the view was worth it.
So do I.
You hope the view was worth it? Don't you know?
No. I was afraid to open my eyes.
Florence.
What?
Are you for real?
Well, I just hope you have a lot of fun here, Florence.
Oh, I will. But things are so complicated in New York. Mr. Lewis took me to the funniest hot dog stand.
Funny hot dog stand? Where is it?
I don't know exactly, but it's called Yankee Stadium.
You went to Yankee Stadium? Oh, then you saw a baseball game.
I did.
You mean you didn't know what was going on? Jerry, why didn't you explain it to her?
Oh, Mr. Lewis explained the whole thing to me.
I sure did, Dean.
Well, that's why I didn't know what was going on. Tell me, Mr. Lewis, who was that man with the iron mask on his face who crouched down behind the batter?
Oh, that's the catcher. He has to wear that iron mask or else the baseballs would smash his face out of shape.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I know all about that stuff. I used to be a catcher myself.
You were? Oh, Mr. Lewis, why didn't you wear a mask?
I couldn't afford a real mask. So I put a birdcage over my head.
Well, that should have been all right.
Yeah, but just as the pitcher threw the ball, the canary flew out and left the door open. Anyway, Florence, you had fun going to the Yankee Stadium with me, didn't you?
Oh, yes. But I hated the woman sitting next to me. She was wearing the same hat I was.
I didn't think you even saw that woman's hat. You were so busy eating those 10 hot dogs I bought for you.
Oh, I didn't eat them. I just squeezed all the mustard on her hat when she wasn't looking.
Well, I didn't know you had a crush on Flo, Jerry.
You didn't?
No, I didn't.
Well, I like Florence, but I have a problem.
Well, what is it? Pray tell.
Well, I keep asking myself this. Can a man who has had a Tinker Toy set for 23 years find happiness with girls?
You know, Jerry, you ought to see a psychiatrist and get straightened out. How did you get all those kinks in your brain anyway?
I gave my hair a Tony Cold Wave and it sank through.
Jerry's very sweet, Mr. Martin. Yesterday, he took me to one of those swanky stores on Park Avenue to buy me some perfume. But I couldn't find anything I liked. All they had was Surrender, Passion, Taboo. The perfume I wanted was My Sin.
Why do you want My Sin?
Well, with that kind, they give you free judo lessons.
So long, Florence. We'll see you later.
So long, Florence. Hey, you know, Dean, I may have another date with her.
Well, it's the right time of year for romance, Jerry. People in love, birds, bees.
Oh, I know all about that. My father told me about the birds and bees for years before I had my first date.
And what happened?
I got stung. But I know all that birds and bees stuff, Dean. I speak the language of the bees. I can even understand what they are saying. Why, only this afternoon I was in a park listening to a couple of them having a conversation.
Oh, Jerry, please.
No, I'm not kidding. I was sitting on a bench, and this bee came along and went... Pretty soon, a boy bee came along and went... And then the girl bee went... And the boy bee went... And then suddenly...
What in the world was that last...
Her husband showed up. Oh.
Thank you.
Friends, are you saving for a rainy day? The best people are doing it, so it must be a good thing. It must pay off, especially when your emergency money is invested in United States savings bonds. Savings bonds issued by our own government and as safe as our government. They're the best place of all for your savings because United States savings bonds make your money grow and grow. In only 10 years, every $3 you put away grow into $4, and every $300, $400. And maybe you didn't know it, but you don't have to save a whole savings bond all at once. No, sir. You can join either of the two time payment plans. If you're employed, join the payroll savings plan where you work. If you're in business for yourself, you're a builder or farmer or painting contractor, join the bond-a-month plan where you bank. For future security, save in United States savings bonds.
Well, you know, Jerry, we have a lovely guest on our show tonight, the famous stage and screen star, Madeline Carroll.
Yeah, Madeline Carroll. Oh, boy, wow.
Look, never mind about that oh, boy, wow stuff. When she gets here, I want you to be, you know, on your best behavior.
Oh, I will, Dean. Gee, Madeline Carroll. She's a glamorous, beautiful movie star. She wouldn't wipe her feet on me.
Oh, after she gets to know you, I'm sure she will.
Gee, I can hardly wait for her to get here, Dean, because you know what?
What?
Well, when we left Paramount, Bob Hope asked me to give Madeline a kiss for him.
Jerry, that's just a figure of speech.
Yeah, and her figure's something to make speeches about.
Jerry, you don't understand. Bob Hope didn't mean for you to actually kiss Madeline. He just meant to say hello to her. Only a moron would interpret it otherwise.
Well, me, Jerry Lewis, boy otherwise.
I don't know why we're even discussing it in the first place. You don't know how to kiss a girl?
I do, too. I've been kissing girls since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. Of course, I kissed a lot of grasshoppers, too.
Ah, that's just schoolboy stuff. Now, the way to kiss a girl, well, you take her in your arms, you lean her back a little, and say something soft and sweet to her. You whisper, darling, and then you kiss her.
Oh, Dean, I'm so unworthy of you.
Now, Madeline will be here in a moment, Jerry, and I want you to be very polite to her. Just say, Madeline, I'm charmed to meet you, and, you know, go ahead, now say it. Let me hear you say it.
Madeline, I'm charmed to meet you.
Now, here, watch now. Say it again. I just want to hear you say it again.
Madeline, I'm charmed to meet you.
That's right. Now, here she comes.
Hello, Dean.
Well, hello, Madeline. Step right in here. I've got a little surprise for you. All right, Jerry, say it.
Madeline, I'm charmed to meet you.
Oh, Dean, how cute. Where did you get it, and how do you wind it up?
Look, Miss Carroll, I'm Jerry Lewis. You don't wind me up. I'm a person. Nobody winds me up.
Hello, Jerry. My, you're cute.
Yeah?
Oh, very cute.
Yeah?
You know, Jerry, you appeal to me very much.
Well, Jerry, don't say something.
Madeline, I'm charmed to meet you.
Is Jerry always this excited, Dean?
Well, he's naturally nervous, Madeline. You know, when jitters wake up after a bad night, they have Jerry. They have Jerry. I wish they had that joke.
That's nothing wrong with the joke, Dean. The audience didn't understand. I'll explain it to them.
You're going to explain this whole joke?
Yeah, you see, when you
I
wake up...
I want to wish you a lot of luck.
Oh, thanks. You see, when you make a joke like jitters sees Jerry, that means it's the reverse. Usually the person sees the jitters. But I'm supposed to be such a jerk and everything that the jitters saw me. See, this is a form of a joke that Dean always says. And when people hear it, they scream and laugh. It's so funny and everything. All right, so I made a boo-boo.
Ah, quiet, Jerry. You know, you're very beautiful, Madeline. You have such lovely blonde hair.
Thank you, Dean. And for your information, my hair is naturally blonde.
It is?
Oh, stop with the jokes, Jerry. I want to tell Madeline we really appreciate her coming over tonight. You must be pretty busy working in your play, Goodbye, My Fancy.
Goodbye, My Fancy? What does that mean?
Well, Jerry, in the play, I'm a girl who has clothed herself in a lot of pretty, fanciful illusions, and I lose them.
You lose your pretty illusions right on the stage?
Jerry, Lord, you'll have to excuse Jerry Madden. He's very tired tonight. He got into a fight with his animal crackers and he lost.
You know, Jerry, I'm beginning to think you're very young.
It's just spring, Madeline. Wild, mad spring. Oh, sweet Madeline, tell me that you care.
I do care, Gerald, with all my heart.
Then come, my loved one. Let us go off into the woodlands. We'll take our shoes off and tiptoe through the flowers.
Jerry, you don't take a girl tiptoeing through the flowers. Nobody does that.
I do, but I'm only 23 years old. What do I know? Hey, Madeline, that reminds me. I got something for you from Bob Hope.
Wonderful, Jerry. What is it?
Gee, what do I do now?
Jerry, if you've got something for me from Bob Hope, I want to know what it is. Perhaps I can guess what it is. Let me see now. Does it have the rare, delicate scent of violets?
No. No, it doesn't have the scent of violets. Of course, once in a while, I chew scent.
Well, is it something wonderful that I'll dream about at night?
Yes, pretty wonderful.
I give up, Jerry. What is it?
Well, Madeline, when we left Hollywood, Bob Hope told me to give you a kiss for him.
A kiss?
Yes. That's why Jerry's all upset. He wants to kiss you and deliver Bob's message.
I see. By any chance, Dean, did Mr. Hope give you any message for me?
No, he didn't.
Well, a girl has to lose once in a while.
Well, come on, Madeline, pucker up. I am ready.
But, Jerry, that's ridiculous. You're kissing Madeline Carroll wouldn't be anything like Bob Hope kissing her.
Why not?
Well, Jerry, if you kiss me, it's just another kiss. But with Bob's nose, he can kiss me and breathe in my ear at the same time.
When you try my technique, the last girl I kissed said murder.
Maybe that's what she preferred.
Is that so? Listen here, after they kiss me, they're willing to die. I bet Madeline's going to love this.
Well, I must tell you, you're up against some real competition, Jerry. You see, when Charles Boyer kisses me, I think of the Casbah. Mysterious, exotic. And when Turan Bey kisses me, I think of a harem draped in silks and sweet incense-laden air. And when Robert Taylor kisses me, I think of champagne, evening clothes and sables, Monte Carlo. And now you want to kiss me.
Yeah. I hope you like Coney Island.
Well, go ahead, Madeline. He'll hound you all night if you don't kiss him.
Well, all right, Jerry. I'm ready.
Okay, here goes. Well, how is that?
You know something? Coney Island isn't so bad.
Madeline, after Dean sings, we're going to do a little skit on what happens in spring and how boys meet girls. Would you like to help us out?
I'd love to, Jerry.
Okay, Dean, hurry up and sing. Bye.
Bye.
Dean Martin sings, accompanied by Dick Stabile in the orchestra, Dreamer with a Penny.
I'd rather be a dreamer with a penny than a rich man with a worried mind. Here am I with wealth untold. The moonlight is my silver. The sunshine is my gold. I'd rather have a shanty filled with laughter than a palace someone's tears designed. Lady Luck and I keep walking hand in glove. Got a gal who loves me for nothing but my love. I'd rather be a dreamer with a penny than a rich man with a worried mind. a shanty filled with laughter than a palace. Someone's tears designed. Lady Luck and I keep walking hand in glove. Got a gal who loves me for nothing but my love. I'd rather be a dreamer with a penny than a rich man with a worried mind.
United States Savings Bonds, the best place of all for your savings, because United States Savings Bonds make your money grow and grow. In only 10 years, every $3 you put away grow into $4, and every $300, $400. And maybe you didn't know it, but you don't have to save a whole savings bond all at once. No, sir. You can join either of the two time payment plans. If you're employed, join the payroll savings plan where you work. If you're in business for yourself, you're a builder or farmer or painting contractor, join the bond a month plan where you bank. For future security, save in United States Savings Bonds.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Madeline, Dean, and I are going to show you some of the problems of young love in spring. In our first scene, we find an unhappy young man entering the office of that famous lovelorn editor, Miss Beatrice Madeline Carroll Fairfax. Pardon me, are you Miss Fairfax?
Yes.
I have a big problem. I can't get girls. I can't understand it. I'm clever and witty and brilliant, a college graduate. I have a very high IQ. I'm extremely intelligent and a cultured gentleman.
But, young man, you're supposed to write me these problems.
Who can write? Next, we have the naive, inexperienced young man going to call on his girl at her home.
Gee, I always have trouble getting up enough courage to ring the doorbell. Madeline's such a refined, bashful girl. She'll never marry anybody. Well, I'll ring the bell.
Come in!
Hello?
Gerald, how nice to see you. Isn't that box of candy for me?
Yes, it is. A big 5-pound box of candy. It's Tutti Frutti caramels with chocolate-covered cherry centers with marshmallow cream filling under the coconut. I'm sorry, they didn't have the fancy kind.
Come on, Gerald. Sit down beside me on the sofa.
Before you take a bite, Madeline, tonight you have to give me a kiss.
Give you a kiss? Gerald Lewis, I'll have you know I'm not that kind of a girl.
But, Madeline...
Goodness, somebody's at the door. You stay here on the sofa and I'll go see who it is.
Hello, baby doll. How about a great big kiss?
Poor guy doesn't know she's not that kind of a girl.
Well, let's sit down on the sofa, honey. We'll pitch a little wool. Oops! What's this I'm sitting on? Hey, where'd you get the totem pole?
Hey, I'm no totem pole. And look here, Madeline, I got something to say to you. You won't even give me a kiss, and yet you let this fella come right in and throw his arms around you and kiss him as much as he wants.
You think that's something? I'm in the wrong house. Look, kid, you're crowding us here on the sofa. Go on, scram, get out of here, and leave that box of chocolates where it is.
All right, I'll go. You're sitting with my girl, and now you're eating my candy. But I'll fix you. I'm going to turn out all the lights so you can't find the good pieces.
And then there's the little romantic scene that often occurs in Central Park. Dean plays the sailor, I play the girl.
Well, here I am. I wish a handsome sailor would come along and whistle at me.
Hiya, babe.
Hello, sailor. Were you whistling at me?
Yeah, I've been at sea quite a while, and you look pretty good to me.
You think I'm beautiful, don't you?
Are you kidding? I was at sea quite a while, but I wasn't born on the ship.
How can you say that? My friends think that I look like a movie star.
Yeah, I see what they mean. Your hair, it reminds me of Linda Darnell, and your eyes remind me of Greer Garson. Your face reminds me of Lana Turner.
How about my legs?
My favorite, Wild Bill Elliott.
But I can't help it. I've been looking for some liquid stocking makeup, but I can't find the exact thing to match my legs.
Yeah, it must be hard to find bow-legged bottles.
Have you been a sailor long?
Oh, say, I have. Matey, I'm a seagoing tar on the briny deep. Oh, the salty spray on a four-masted schooner in the crow's nest. Swab the deck, scrape those barnacles. Ahoy there, full speed ahead. Anchors away.
Say, mister.
Yes?
Are you for real?
We're wasting time. Let's start smooching.
How dare you try to kiss me?
What are you hitting me for? I didn't even touch you.
I know. I'm just practicing.
Oh, boy, look at this swell dish coming along the walk.
Hello, sailor. Going my way?
Swell dish? You call her a swell dish? What's she got that I haven't got?
Nothing, but you knocked with 10 and she went gin.
Oh, sailor, don't tell me this dame is your girlfriend.
Of course. I'm lovely. I'm engaged. I've had my mustache plucked.
I still like this beautiful blonde better.
Oh, yeah?
Sure, compared to you, she's Eve in the Garden of Eden.
Okay, I'm Eve. Come on, Adam, let's get out of here.
Oh, no, you don't. I got his arm, and he's staying here.
Well, I got his other arm, and he's coming with me.
Hey, you two, stop pulling.
What do you know? We split the atom.
And finally, there's the lonesome young fellow who hasn't got a girlfriend and goes to the famous Roseland Diamond Dance Hall.
Well, here I am at Roseland. I wonder if there are any girls around here I can dance with.
Yoo-hoo, lover boy. Would you like to dance with me, honey?
Do I want to dance? Sure. How about a rumba?
You know how to rumba?
I'll say. I'm an expert at it. Never took a lesson in my life, either.
Yeah? How'd you learn?
I got a bicycle with a loose seat. Hey. They're gonna start. We better get ready, huh?
Yeah. Snuggle up a little closer, sweetie.
How's this?
Closer.
Am I close enough now?
I think so. You're behind me.
I'm sorry. Here we go. Here's my ticket.
That'll be another ticket, bud.
Another ticket? I didn't even get a hold of you.
Well, give me another ticket, and this time grab quicker.
Okay, here. Let's go. Hey, who leads this band, Flash Gordon?
Come on, honey. The next one is a waltz. Give me another ticket.
Hey, I think I'm getting swindled here. Hey, Mr. Orchestra Leader, what was that number?
Cruising down a river.
Well, let's cruise a little. I didn't even get a chance to get in the boat.
Oh, quit beefing, honey bunch. Let's dance some more.
Well, okay.
That'll be another ticket.
Hey, now I'm sore. Bum. What number was that?
The 1 o'clock jump.
What'd you do, set it back for daylight saving?
If you don't shut up, wise guy, I'll bang you over the head with every instrument in my band.
Oh, yeah? Let's see you try it.
There, you happy?
Yeah, I'm happy. At last, you played one number all the way through.
Martin and Lewis Show, transcribed in New York, is produced and directed by Robert L. Redd and written by Norman Sullivan, Dick McKnight, Ray Allen, and Chet Castellaw. Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis are soon to be seen in the Hal Wallace production, My Friend Irma. This is Ed Hurley. He's suggesting you tune in your NBC station each Sunday evening at the same hour for the Martin and Lewis Show.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. We are available on iTunes and many other services. always free to the public. I'm your host, Justine Ward. The next Martin and Lewis show we have for you is from 1953, when they were much better known to listeners. They had started a successful movie career, and later they would become very popular on TV variety shows. Their guest on this episode is actress Ann Baxter, and they make her laugh so hard she can barely deliver a straight line. I'm sure you'll be laughing as you enjoy The Martin and Lewis Show, first broadcast May 5th, 1953, on NBC.
Transcribed.
Jerry?
Yeah?
Cigarette?
Certainly.
Chesterfield?
Exclusively.
King size?
Regular.
Light?
Thanks.
Good.
Splendid.
Ooh.
Which means the Chesterfield, first cigarette with premium quality in both regular and king size, brings you the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show.
Chesterfield is best for you, much milder, better tasting too. They're today's best cigarette buy.
Come on, smokers, why don't you try?
Chesterfield,
best for you.
Chesterfield, best for you. Regular king size either way, make it Chesterfield today.
Gentlemen, it is my pleasure to bring you our master of ceremonies, Dean Martin.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, everyone. Clear the tracks because we're about to pull out on another Chesterfield Super Chief. My partner Jerry's off on a siding somewhere with his brains temporarily derailed, but he'll be checking out here soon with a car full of laughs. So, Richard, my good conductor, toot that whistle, jingle that brass, and full speed ahead.
Day after day I'm waiting patiently, and when the salty wind is blowing from the sea, I pretend that it's the breeze that's filling the sail, that's moving the ship, that's bringing money back to me. I always keep my window open wide. I like to let the friendly breeze come right inside, and pretend that it's the breeze that's filling the sail, that's moving the ship, that's bringing my honey back to me. Mr. Wind, keep blowing stronger, because I must have that gal of mine. While every day seems so much longer, now don't forget it's daylight saving time. I get so lonesome waiting days and weeks, but every breath of air that lingers on my cheek seems to whisper it's the breeze that's filling the sail, that's moving the ship, that's bringing my honey back to me. Day after day I'm waiting, cause the wind is blowing from the sea. Well, it's the sea, the wind, the ship, the sail, it's bringing my honey back to me. I keep the window open wide, and I can let that breeze come right inside. When it's the sea, the wind, the ship, the sail, it's bringing my honey to me. Hey, Mr. Wind, keep blowing stronger, because I must have that gal of mine. And every day seems so much longer, now don't forget it's daylight saving time. I get so lonesome waiting days and weeks, but every breath of air that lingers on my cheeks seems to whisper it's the breeze that's filling the sails and moving the ship, that's bringing my honey back to me. Well, it's the sea, the breeze, the ship, the sails, that's bringing my honey to me.
Thanks very much. Now, I'd like to introduce my zany partner. Of course, he doesn't have any good looks, but he doesn't mind. He doesn't have any brains either.
Yeah, it's a set.
Jerry Lewis!
To me.
Jerry, what's with this peculiar way of speaking? Guess what happened to me?
Okay, I give up. What happened to you?
No, Jerry, when you come to the end of a sentence like that, you're supposed to drop your inflection.
What? And have everybody see my underwear?
Oh. No, Jerry, forget your underwear.
That would be even worse.
Look, Jerry, when you come to the end of a sentence, your voice is supposed to drop.
Okay, Ding. Guess what happened to me?
Oh, please, Jerry. When you talk, there are statements and there are questions. Now, at the end of a statement, you put a period. You know what a period is?
Oh, sure. That's a pimple made out of ink.
No, look, Jerry. I'm talking about punctuation. You know what punctuation is?
Oh, indeed, I do. Punctuation is the science of facilitating the interpretation of a sentence or any group of sentences in a paragraph by way of sundry variegated markings.
Jerry, how did you know that?
One of our writers has a dictionary.
Which one?
The one that can read.
Oh. I'll explain punctuation further. Now, take this, Hens. I'm going to Europe to entertain this summer.
I'm going with you.
No, Jerry, no. I'm only trying to explain inflections. When I say I'm going to Europe this summer, I'm taking an example.
I'm taking a boat.
No.
You go your way and I'll go mine.
All right, Jerry, we'll both go by boat.
We're both going by boat?
Now you got it. You asked a question and your inflection went up. Question up, statement down.
Oh, question up, statement down. Question up, statement down.
That's right, up, down.
Up, down, up, down, up, down. Dean.
What, Jerry?
I'm nauseous.
Well, this whole thing is your fault. Now, tell me, Jerry, what happened to you? I mean, what happened to you?
I'm glad you asked that, Dean. It was terrible.
It was, wasn't
it? It was just one of those days when everything seems to go wrong. You know how those days do pop up. I came back late last night and I called the police.
Called the police? Why?
I thought I was kidnapped.
How can a person think he's kidnapped?
I looked at my bed and I wasn't there.
Naturally, Jerry, nobody can be there. The bed was empty.
Oh, no, Dean, it was half empty.
Half empty? It couldn't be half empty.
All right, it was half full.
Half full of what?
My brother, Barney. He was at a party all night and he was drinking.
And he wound up sleeping in your bed?
Every time Bernie gets drunk, he thinks he's me.
Why didn't you wake Bernie up and tell him that he wasn't you?
I did. I said, Bernie, you are not me. You are not me.
What happened?
He talked me out of it. And that's not all, Deanie. Just when I dropped off to sleep, I was awakened by the dog barking.
What was bothering the dog?
She was having kittens.
The dog was having kittens?
She doesn't know she's a dog. She thinks she's a cat.
How could a dog think she's a cat?
Bernie talked her into it. Oh.
Years ahead of them all. Chesterfield is years ahead of them all. The quality contrast between Chesterfield and other leading brands is a revealing story. Recent chemical analyses give an index of good quality for the country's six leading cigarette brands. The index of good quality table, which is a ratio of high sugar to low nicotine, shows Chesterfield quality highest.
Chesterfield quality highest.
15% higher than its nearest competitor.
Chesterfield quality highest.
31% higher than the average of the five other leading brands.
Yes, Chesterfield is first with premium quality in both regular and king size.
Don't you want to try a cigarette with a record like this? Chesterfield.
Gentlemen, it doesn't take a medical degree to become a heart specialist. Songwriters have been successfully analyzing heartbeats for years. So here I am ready to give you their latest report.
Your cheating heart
cry and cry and try to sleep, but sleep won't come the whole night through. Your cheating heart will tell on you when tears come down like falling rain. You'll toss around and call my name. You'll walk the floor the way I do. Your cheating heart will tell on you.
Our guest star wants you for her garden?
Yeah, as soon as she saw me, she turned to her friend and said, get a load of that.
You should be flattered that our guest noticed you at all. You know, she's a very famous Academy Award winner.
An Academy Award winner? Gracious, that's positively sterling.
Yeah, Jerry, 3 years ago at the Academy Awards, she got an Oscar. She was sure surprised.
Why did she expect a girl?
Well, you don't understand, Jerry. For the past 3 years, she's kept her Oscar on the mantelpiece.
On a mantelpiece? She can't afford a crib.
Look, Jerry, she got this for a picture. Did you ever see The Razor's Edge?
Only when I shave.
Jerry, I hope you don't act so stupid after I introduce her. Ladies and gentlemen, I guess it's no longer any secret who our guest is. So I know you'll be happy to meet and greet the lovely and charming Miss Ann Baxter. Well, welcome, Annie.
Thank you, Dean.
I'm certainly glad you could make it tonight.
Well, I almost didn't. I had a hard time getting a sitter for my child.
Naturally, who wants to sit up there on a mantelpiece?
Dean, this thing shouldn't be let loose. It should live in a cage.
Miss Baxter? I'll have you know that I, Jerry Lewis, star of stage, screen, radio, and television, have a large enough income to afford the finest home in Beverly Hills.
Oh, that's true, Jerry.
So how come I live in a cage?
Jerry, that outburst amazed me. Why, it wouldn't surprise me if you had the makings of a dramatic actor.
It would amaze me. To be a really fine dramatic actor, you must be able to control your emotions, even though you've loved and lost.
Well, I've loved and lost, and look at me.
I am looking, and I see why you lost.
Miss Baxter?
I'm...
Baxter, I may not be dashing or chivalrous, suave or debonair, cultured or glum, but I have one thing that Tyrone Power hasn't got.
What's that?
A brother who thinks he's me.
My partner's not well at all tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry I insulted you, Jerry. I'd do anything in the world to make it up to you.
Anything, Miss Baxter?
Yes. Anything.
Miss Baxter. Anne.
Yes.
Would a bag of peanut brittle be asking too much?
Oh, Jerry.
Oh, Dean, doesn't Jerry know anything about life?
He doesn't even suspect anything.
I do about acting. It is a well-known fact among very few people that because of my dramatic ability, I was once offered a part in High Noon.
Why didn't you take it?
I don't get up that early.
Jerry, what Andy has been trying to say is that you can't be a dramatic actor unless you've suffered.
I've suffered. Oh, how I've suffered. Wow, how I've suffered. Gosh, oh, gee whiz, how I've suffered. My stars, I've suffered. Suffer, 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 suffer. That's me all suffering.
All right, so you suffered. But that isn't all you need to become a dramatic success.
That's so true. You need Broadway experience. Oh, the theater. Oh, I miss it. I'm here in Hollywood, but I left part of me on Broadway.
But you brought the ham with you, didn't you?
Jerry, what Hannah's trying to say is that it's not only dramatic ability that makes a star, it's the experience and the part, too.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's so true. As the saying goes, the play's the thing.
Ah, yes. The play's the thing. Did you hear that, Fenneman?
I certainly did, Dean.
Then set the scene for that thing we call a play.
Very well. Ladies and gentlemen, the Chesterfield, ooh, they're best for you players. Present Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, and Ann Baxter in a drama about the undying love of a woman for a man. A pitiful tale of a girl who is torn between her love for a struggling young inventor and the attentions of a wealthy sneak who tries to win her love by giving her furs. Entitled... The Mink Fink.
Love you, you crazy mixed-up inventor, you. Stop with those test tubes and look at me.
Some other time, Naomi, I'm busy putting the finishing touches on my new discovery. The latest improvement in sticks of dynamite.
What do you mean, latest improvement in dynamite sticks?
They're peppermint-flavored. They're utterly delicious.
It's so smoky in here, I can't see who just came in.
It is I, the Mink Fink. Naomi, I brought you a new fur coat.
I've never seen green fur before. What's it made of?
Fuzzy money. Oh, Naomi, I have so much to give you, and still you keep refusing my sneaky offers of marriage. Why?
Who wants to have a bunch of little finks running around our house?
Dear one, marry me and you'll have chinchillas and ermines.
Marry me, Naomi, and you'll have children just like everybody else.
Eli, darling.
What is it,
Eli, darling, if I do marry you, we can't live in this cellar. It's so dirty, so filthy.
How could you expect Naomi to live in this horrible place? There's no carpeting. There's nothing but just plain dirt.
True, but it's wall-to-wall dirt.
What do you say, Naomi?
Oh, I couldn't live here, darling. It's so damp.
I know. This morning I picked up a newspaper to swat a fly and knock down a halibut.
Naomi, if you marry me, you will share my huge estate. And remember, I have my own 18-hole golf course.
Oh, lots of people have their own 18-hole golf courses.
Inside the house?
Think you're just trying to turn her head. You're despicable, incorrigible, diabolical.
Those are hard words.
I know, but I said them.
I'd marry you at once, Eli, if you gave up your silly work.
I could never give it up. Never, do you understand? Never, never, never. N-E-V-E-R, never. After all, I am known in the profession as Marvelous Eli, the mad inventor.
But your inventions never made a nickel.
Why do you think I'm so mad?
You're crazy.
Oh, no, Fink is right, Eli. Look at the crazy things you've invented.
Crazy? Crazy? Whoa! You call my invention of the poopsicle crazy?
Wait a minute. What's a poopsicle?
That's a popsicle without any stick to hold it up. It's a darb, a positive darb.
Oh, you'll never change, Eli. Never, never.
Look, you made tears roll down her cheeks, you viper.
I ain't got a handkerchief. Viper yourself.
Don't cry, Naomi. Don't cry. Eat, Dad, don't cry.
I can't help it. If you really love me, Eli, you'll get up early someday and invent something practical.
But I did! Only this morning I perfected something to write with that's guaranteed not to leak.
What is it? Ain't gonna leave me out of this show. What is it?
I call it a pencil.
Why did you name it a pencil?
What else does it look like?
But Eli, my darling, this is the age of automobiles. There are tremendous opportunities for inventions in that field.
Naomi, you have just said the secret word. I happen to have invented a windshield for cars that is crack-proof, crash-proof, and bullet-proof. It's perfect except for one minor detail.
What's that?
You can't see through it.
I can only whip that one thing.
Darling, darling, I want to be proud of you. Invent something worthwhile and I'll marry you.
You mean you want me to invent something right in front of you?
Yes.
How about a liquid nail polish for people with liquid nails?
No. No, indeed. I've got it.
Why don't you get rid of it?
All right. Hand me my satchel of chemicals.
Here you are, Eli.
Now I start. Bichloride of potassium. Bipotassium of fluoride. Oreothiamia chlorosilurate.
You don't have any Oreothiamia chlorosilurate.
Then we'll use chicken fat. Now, what's this?
Look, it's beginning to bubble and boil.
There. Now it's finished.
What is it, Eli?
What is it? For years, medical science has been trying to help those poor unfortunates who suffer with the 7-year itch. And this formula is the answer.
You mean it cures a 7-year itch?
No, but it grows an extra pair of hands so you can scratch.
Chesterfield is best for you. Listen to Chesterfield's record.
For a full year and 2 months, a doctor has been making regular examinations of a group of Chesterfield smokers, and he reports no adverse effects to the nose, throat, and sinuses from smoking Chesterfields.
Don't you want to try a cigarette with a record like this? Chesterfield. First with premium quality in both regular and king size. Chesterfield. First choice with Young America. And that's from a survey of 274 colleges and universities. Try Chesterfield's today. Remember, Chesterfield is America's best cigarette buy.
You know, friends, it's a pleasure to tell you how happy you've made Jerry and me with your wonderful reception of our latest picture, The Stooge. All the nice things you've been saying have been music to our ears. And so now I'd like to express my thanks with some music for your ears. Thank you.
like this make me thrill through and through. Careless moments like this close to you. Nonchalantly, we dine and we dance. Yet my heart seems to melt in your glance. Sweet moments like this, where the soft lights glow, make me long for your kiss, though I know I'd be just one of all your affairs. But at moments like this, who
lovely. You know, your voice has a remarkable dramatic quality.
Thanks, Anne. You hear that, Jerry? Did you hear that? Anne says I've got dramatic possibilities.
Splendid. But you're forgetting about me, Miss Baxter. You know me and dramatic acting.
Well, you haven't convinced me yet, Jerry.
That's right, Jerry. You haven't shown Miss Baxter that you're able to register all emotions.
Suppose we test you out now, Jerry. Register fear.
Ah!
Boredom.
Ah!
Sickness. Jerry, maybe you'd better stick to comedy, because I've certainly enjoyed being a part of it tonight.
Well, good night, Anne. Thanks for lending your charm to our show.
Yes, and an extra vote of thanks for accepting our nonsense so graciously. Please hurry back, Anne.
That I will. Good night, Dean and Jerry. Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
While we're stocking up on songs and jokes for next week's show, we hope you'll stock up on Chesterfields. We're sure you'll like them as much as Jerry and I do.
Either way, regular or king size, they're milder. They taste great. And they're America's best cigarette buys. So get Chesterfields. You'll find they're best for you.
So until next week, this is Dean Martin.
And this is Jerry Lewis saying good night, everybody.
God bless y'all.
You've just heard transcribed the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show, produced and directed by Dick Mack, written by Arthur Phillips and Austin Kalish, with music prepared and conducted by Dick Stabile. And this is George Fenneman reminding you to listen to Chesterfield's award-winning show, Dragnet, Sunday night on this same NBC station.
Now, new Fatima has the tip for your lips. Fatima tips of perfect cork. King size for natural filtering. Fatima quality for a much better flavor and aroma. So remember, new Fatima has the tip for your lips. Fatima. See how smooth they are.
Remember, Fatima is made by the makers of Chesterfield, Liggett and Myers.
one of tobacco's most respected names.
Thank you for listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. It's a pleasure finding comedy, drama, and variety shows for your enjoyment. Next week, we will bring you a couple of episodes of You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx that will make you laugh out loud. Until next week, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.